everybody. Your favorite podcast is back. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego. Mr. Button all the way up to the top. With me is my co-host, Miss Tibblebot. Mr. Tiff all the way up to the top.
Oh, my God.
Whatever. What's
Tiff
happening,
all the way up to the top. I don't know what that means, but I'm okay with it. Yeah. I was telling, you know what? The thing about this fucking show is, it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you the truth. Before we started recording, I told Montego, this part makes me nervous. And I'll tell you why. Because I do think that the way I feel once we've exited the intro is just a... It pretends the show, right? Like, if we leave the exit and we're like, oh, God.
It's
I don't want
good.
That. I want to be fucking strong.
Yes. Well, it's strong and it's good, man, because we do have a pretty decent show because, you know, we got content. You know, I've been noticing, Tiff. We
got content. Jesus.
You know, we did the pandemic thing, and I got used to not having anything to do.
That's true. I mean, like, when you said that, I thought it was funny, but then as soon as I thought about it, I was like, actually, we kind of do have content.
Yeah, for it's been weeks now. that is pretty easy. You know, we got to decide what not to do. It's back to the good old days.
I know. Finally back to where we're like, this?
Yeah, can't
Instead
do that.
Instead of being like, oh, God, anything.
Right.
Did somebody record an okay YouTube video that we can talk about?
It was that bad.
It was very bad.
It was that
bad. Yes,
we're
back. We're back in black. Back in black.
Oh, shit.
That's what I mean. Wait, when's it? When are your accounts good? Is that in the black?
That's in the black.
Okay. See, I don't really understand the things that people say. I only pick them up from context clues. I'm like, this is what this means.
Man, black.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, it's as good as if AC/DC is doing it.
You damn right it is. Anyway. On this week's show, man, we got two trailers. Buzz Lightyear, the origin story. I think that's starring Chris Evans. Also, what's his name? Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg is doing a little Uncharted. And well, we got some
Marky Mark Wahlberg.
Yes, sir. There his face is again. Anyway, we got a little daytime drama, you know, on Fans of Patrol. I got to find a name for our daytime drama things, you know, Stephen Amell and all these other people who be having these problems.
Yeah.
We got a little Batwoman news because that show's story, the shit that happens on side of the story is outside of the actual show is way better than the show. You know, does anybody even watch the damn show? Anyway, we're going to talk about that.
I didn't even know it was on. They were like second season and I was like, what?
See, that's what I'm saying. So this all might just be, now I'm thinking we're being manipulated, that everything is cool on the set of this show. They just figuring out ways to make people watch at least one show. Anyway. We're doing Price of Tomatoes and we worked it out nice, y'all. So we're gonna do a game that we haven't been able to do unless we got a guest on, but we figured it out. So we're gonna do that. And then we're gonna talk about the old it's brand new, but same old book, Dune. We're doing that this week. Because that came out on HBO Max. Saying that, are you ready to roll?
Yeah.
Indeed. All right, man. Time for some social media. Tiff, tell the people where they can find us.
For everything Fans of Patrol, go to fansofpatrol.com. That's our main hub. You can get to our shows there and also email us at fans@fansofpatrol or hit our social medias on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Fans of Patrol. You can listen to us on your favorite listening platform, which I assume you're listening now. But please subscribe to our YouTube and check out our Patreon if you are able.
All right, man. So... I remember something about a Buzz Lightyear origin type of thing, and I didn't care at all. You know, I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah, that's the correct response.
The kiddies have something to watch. And then I saw this trailer.
What kiddies?
The little Disney kiddies, you know? And then I saw this trailer.
I understand that, but like, this is like from like my childhood. Why do no? You know what? Never mind. You're right. Fuck me.
No.
Why are you excited about this trailer?
Well, you're wrong because they just had a movie come out like a year ago. So
yeah, that's true. And the kids did watch it, even though you know, if you're gonna really get into cinema, you should start at the beginning.
Tiff, this Buzz
with the classics: Toy Story 1, first Toy Story.
The Buzz Lightyear looks dope.
I'm being an asshole. Anyway, go on. Tell me about this trailer.
The Buzz Lightyear looks dope. I mean, it looks really dope. I'm like, damn, I want to see it. It looks so good. So, you know, it's the toy is based on a real person. I like how they did that. You know, not.
I have so much to say about that. You would not even fucking believe the aneurysm I had when they were trying to tell me that this was based on a real person.
Okay, so let me hear.
And I will tell you why.
Go ahead.
The fucking movies take place in today. The fucking movies that we watched with Buzz Lightyear, where he is a toy, took place today in like modern times.
Yes. Yes.
This is clearly the future.
Yes.
How is these movies that we've watched about a toy that's based on a thing that has not happened yet?
I can't stand your ass. You ruined everything. Just like that. It's ruined. It's ruined. It's ruined. Listen, it was good.
Listen, if you like the way this looks and you want to fucking watch it, it shouldn't matter what the stupid story is because listen, no matter what you say about this stupid ass dumb shit, it doesn't fucking matter. If you liked it, fine, watch it.
Damn.
But I'm just saying, like, why did they bother saying that? Why did they say that?
I didn't even think about it, Tiff. I was just looking, and I was like, oh, this is dope. Look how dope it is. Oh, this is Buzz Lightyear. Then they made a toy off of him. But then Teflbot struck like lightning. God damn, you're right.
Listen. Come here for the fucking truth. If you can't handle seeing the truth about your favorite garbage and enjoying it anyway, I guess you didn't like it that much to begin with. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you tell me something that I like is garbage, you know what I'm going to say? Damn. Okay, good for you. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna be like, well, shit, now I don't like it. Cause you wanna know what? I actually like it.
No, I thought it was dope. But then that's big. That's huge. It is like, oh yeah, he's supposed to be an old toy.
Because they're trying to manipulate people into giving gravitas to a movie about a stupid spaceman.
Damn.
Just here's what you should say. Listen, doesn't this look fun? Let's watch it. You don't have to like blow smoke up my ass about it. I'll be like, okay, sure, I'll give it a try. But if you're like, this is the next animated Oscar-winning movie about a man who is based, you know, I'm like, fuck you. Be honest about your garbage. Be like, hey, we want to make some money, and you might like watching it. Why don't you just come? And I'll be like, okay.
Yeah, it looked dope though. It looked dope.
It does. Listen, Pixar does a good job. Do I think that if you like Pixar movies, you're going to like this movie? 100%, without a doubt, I believe that people will like this movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm just saying, why are you doing this? What is this campaign for? Is it to try to catch people like me? Like, I'm not watching that because I'm not gonna. I'm still not gonna. And now I'm especially not gonna.
Unless.
No. Oh, God, don't you dare. Listen, I think I'm going to have to institute a policy where it's every other week it's mine.
Shit. You don't ever know what you want to watch.
Because we've gone a long time.
You don't ever know what you want to watch, Tiff.
I'm just going to make you suffer. I'm going to make you suffer.
You're a last minute.
Suffer you shall. Anyway.
Pulling the joystick.
Okay.
Yes.
When you look at this,
it's so
does
good.
It look fine? Yeah. I mean, like, it's obviously technically proficient. It's got a storyline that people, regardless of how or where it sits in the timeline, they care about it.
To have all this sci-fi stuff in it, you know, and all this action, it had a lot of heart to me, man. I was like, wow, great, good trailer.
Okay.
Man. Good trailer.
Are you ready for the Shyamalanian twist of this conversation?
Yes.
Now that I have said that.
Yes.
Do you remember, Jesus Christ, I cannot believe I'm doing this. Do you remember in the first movie, he doesn't realize he's a toy?
I do.
And that's the heartbreaking point. Like the point of that movie, right? Is that you, it's self-acceptance or whatever.
Yes.
Is this movie a movie in which he does not realize that he is a movie, like he is a movie character and the toy is based off of a movie character. And that's why they're already setting me up. They're manipulating me into believing that I'm supposed to believe he's real right now. But then we find out that he's not. Because that would be pretty genius, but also and very
I would hate it.
Yeah. Sneaky and manipulative, which
I would hate it.
You would hate that?
Yep.
Oh, God. I can't believe that you believing he was a real man was more intriguing to you than for them to stay within the plot lines of their own reality.
The hell with Toy Story. Just roll with this character brand fresh and new. This is just
Well, okay, you know what? That's fair. Mm-hmm. I would be okay with that. But you know what? There's some fuckery about, and I think we can all agree on that.
Okay. Well, now that I'm destroyed from Buzz Lightyear, let's move on to something else that I'm really, really interested to see.
What else can I destroy for you today?
I want to see how
because
you feel about
it. I don't think it's going to be good.
I want to know, since
okay.
Go ahead. You're a PlayStation owner, and
you know. Want me to go first? Do you want me to go first so you can try to tell me I'm wrong?
No, that's not my purpose.
Depending.
Here.
Depending. Maybe we agree.
No.
Maybe we agree.
Let me get it out. So
You know we don't agree.
I don't have any, affinity for anything PlayStation because I never owned one.
Okay.
Funny enough, though, if I want one now, I want to buy both of the new systems, but you still can't find them.
Yeah.
So it's like, so anyway, I've never played Uncharted, but I have seen it. I've seen, playthrough videos and things like that. And I've always looked at it like, oh, this would be great. And that guy is Nathan Fillion. And they should do, if they ever do a movie, they ought to put him in it, And
yeah,
so,
he's a little too old.
Yeah, now.
But he does look like him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a little too old now. They should have made a movie sooner.
Yeah, and you could have made this
movie. Because you're 100% correct.
You could have made this movie a long time ago.
But here's the thing. Hmm? Yeah, with Nathan Fillion, I would totally agree. That's great casting. But I do also think that, with movies like this, it wouldn't matter if Nathan Fillion was lowered from the sky by God himself into the fucking casting room and he shone like the light of 1,000 suns. He's not famous enough to do this.
Huh. Okay. Well, this thing has a bunch of action, and they have two recognizable stars. I know. It super reminds me of the old Laura Croft movies where you have a couple of well-known 100%. Actors and then you have a bunch of stars that, a couple of stars. I really, really like Tom Holland. And I've seen him in different things and he's been different enough, especially that one god-awful movie we did for the Patreon.
I wanted to like that because he was so good in it, but go on.
Yes, he was very good in it. So he proved to me that he could act in that movie and he just wasn't, Spider-Man or Peter Parker. Then we got Marky Mark in this thing and goddamn and dude.
Yeah, he's really stinking it up.
And dude been acting for 1,000 years and he's still the same pucker in every damn movie. I mean, he's never different. He's always the same.
Why did they pick him?
He doesn't even fit the mold for the character, but they
did. I'm looking at him. I'm like, he doesn't fit.
No.
He's not doing a good job and he's not really a draw anymore. So what is the purpose?
I don't. No. So, but I knew that with the casting before I saw the trailer.
There's a lot of wet t-shirts in this trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're showing way too much of the action, like the whole
sequence. There's not enough wet t-shirts.
And I don't know. I mean, I think this, I think this is? I think this people are going to go to the movies to see this because they're in theaters only. And, I think you will forget as soon as you walk out the theater about this movie. It looks like big action explosion, but then you're like,
it's like one of those movies where you're sitting there watching it and you're like, yeah,
right,
and then you leave and someone's like, what was it about?
I don't know.
I don't know.
A little dude. Another little dude.
There was a treasure.
Yeah.
There was some abs.
That's exactly how I felt about it when I was looking at it. I was like, it's obviously a shot done well. The stunts look good. Everything looks good.
This fucking scene where they're flying in the air and climbing up the baggage.
That looked great.
I mean, sure, it doesn't look bad, but I just don't give. Why am I excited about this?
Well, I mean, just let's say, are you a fan of the game and the franchise?
Oh, I'm not. I've never played them. I've seen them be played. Okay. I don't mind them. I think I do have some questions about this, particularly speaking of the game in comparison to it. Obviously, I feel like, and I don't know how people feel who are listening who have played these games.
Yeah, yeah.
But that Nathan Drake, I think is his name. He always struck me as someone who was 29, and then potentially by the end of this the series of video games he was 30 something. Like late 20s, early 30s.
He was way older than Tom Holland's, but you know.
Yeah. And Tom Holland looks like a baby in this, partially because they put him next to Marky Mark, who is that supposed to be his brother?
No, it's just like a
mentor. Or his brother's dead.
His brother's there, missing or dead, but he's supposed to be like the mentor character. And Tom Holland
is so old.
Is I think in real life he may be like 24, 25 now. Or something
I don't know. I think he's like 22. No, you may be right. You might be 25. You're right.
When he did Spider-Man, he was 19. He was 19. Yeah. When he
and that's been some years ago. It doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. So you know, I don't know, man. I don't think.
But when I watch this though, like, so when I watch it, I remember when we were talking about this coming out. So was this filmed partially before pandemic? All before pandemic. And the reason I asked that is because he looks really young. Like this was filmed 2 or 3 years ago.
No. I think
you know what I mean?
I think he looks the same. I mean, think about it. Spider-Man is coming out this year. And, you know, from what we've seen, the dude still looks the same. He's just got that.
This is one of those young face guys.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know.
Oh, and him and Zendaya are back together.
Oh, now the circle good is complete. I feel so good as a person now because that really was bothering me. Yeah.
I know. I knew that as soon as they broke up that you were crying into your diary.
God
so
damn it. How dare they?
I wanted to let you know.
You must be Jay-Z and Beyonce.
they're back together. They're so in love.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're five. But I did laugh during the part where the Scottish guy is talking to him and
that
he says,
that was funny. What? That because I didn't and understand shit he said either.
Well, I understood him, but I have some Scottish friends and when I first met them, I was like, I got it. I'm sorry. I don't understand what you're saying. And then they said, you know, it's funny. We don't always understand what you're saying either.
Oh, really?
Because I also speak fast and also, and a lot of Americans do, but I think Americans think, oh, we don't have an accent or we have an American accent.
Oh yeah, absolutely. 100%.
So like people might be like, what the fuck are you saying?
Yeah. that part was funny. I like I had a subtle laugh with the, how old are you, kid? And you know that comment. I mean,
Then I did laugh about the take your finger off your ear. I mean, like there were some funny parts in this movie, but honestly, like you said, honestly, I'm gonna forget about this trailer. They're gonna have to try really hard for me to remember this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will. They'll probably kick it into high gear like a couple weeks before.
Yeah, and I guess I wish somebody was a super fan on this thing, and I would love to know how they would, you know, felt at least about the casting. Well, normally people hate casting no matter what, but I still don't think this is good casting. That's just me.
We can have Mike on the show because he's played all of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Come on, tell us what you got. So that's all I had to say about that. You know, it's brand new.
Right.
And I just like the way it's the first time I saw PlayStation, not Sony, you know, marketing a movie. I was like, wow,
yeah.
That's PlayStation. They're not saying Sony. They're saying PlayStation, you know, brought to you by PlayStation. So, okay. I still don't have one, you bastards, you know.
We do. Not to brag, but.
Yeah.
But to be fair,
mm-hmm.
to a certain person in this house.
He worked for
it. If that was all that mattered to you, you probably would have one by now, too.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean? Not all that matters, but like your main hobby.
Right.
Anyway, it's a very beautiful piece of machinery.
Okay, man. So let's talk about a little Batwoman news.
Batwoman.
Tiff, so we brought you a story a couple months ago, over a year ago. Ruby Rose left the show, said that, you know, she didn't like living in Vancouver. It was very taxing. She was tired all the time. She couldn't keep up with the schedule. And we were like, huh.
Yeah.
After the first season? Really? Okay. All right. And I had actually watched about 5 of the Batwoman shows, and it was, in my opinion, god awful. However, her performance as the Kane woman was okay. I bought it. You know what I'm saying? She was fine in what she was doing. So I didn't have a problem with her, but I just, you know, it was just like the worst of CW. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let's go to the full needle CW, and that's what we're going to give you. So anyway, that was done. It was over with. Tifflebot, all of a sudden, there's news. You know, all of a sudden, Ruby Rose come back out, and she like, let me tell you something. These bastards was horrible. You know?
Yeah.
They had no yelling rules. They had Yes, ma'am. They had no yelling rules, and
no, they had no yelling.
Yeah, rules. That's what I mean. You cannot yell rules. And she didn't like the way she was being treated, and she, you know, she had much complaints, and she hated them fuckers, and she would never come back. And it was like, whoa, that's a lot different from I'm tired. So to my surprise, I'm like, well, what the hell is this about? Right after that, Warner Brothers was like, no, man, you know, it wasn't like that. It was her, and we fired her. And then all of a sudden, the dude who played Batwing, you know, Alfred's son, he comes out like, you know, no, at first I think she invoked his name. She was like, and that guy only worked a day a week. And he came out like, look, she was the worst thing on this damn show. She got fired. She is the one who was bullying people and stuff like that. And I'm glad y'all know. And I'm just sitting here like, what the hell is going on with this damn soap opera? Please pass me some popcorn because this is good drama. Shit.
It's just, you know, I feel this is messy, and I know that none of us want to invalidate any claims that people are making about what's happened, because we weren't there, we don't know.
It's just so public tiffle about. Goodness gracious!
It's really a crazy situation where part of it definitely has to do with like potential disappointment in the quality of the product. And I'm not saying, I'm probably saying that for everyone involved. Do you know what I mean? We're like, imagine being an actress of Ruby Rose's caliber. Like, you've had successful movies, you've been on a show on Netflix, which I guess as much as we don't like to admit it, there is like a tier of places where you, like, if you get an HBO show, you're going to be much more excited than if you get an ABC show, I would assume. I guess I don't really know, because those people who are on Two and a Half Men are probably like bajillionaires, but whatever.
Oh, they show them, like, get paid a lot. That's for sure. They're network stars. Right. My goodness.
But I think, like, potentially I guess I would assume, artistically speaking, you would be more gratified by being in an HBO series.
Because you can do what you want. You can do what you want.
Right. You're a little higher status, right? Yeah. So imagine being in a blockbuster movie and then being on the CW, which was a choice that she did make.
Yeah, I mean, and not only that, you get a chance to play, you know.
You get some, make some money, get some exposure.
You get to play a superhero. And how many actors and actresses out there ever get that chance, regardless?
These days, every single.
Nah, get out of here.
They're running out of people to ask.
Anyway.
That's why they're always like, picking up, no, and then again,
obscure,
slubby guy, and making him into a superhero, because there's no more already hot men.
Oh, bull crap, tiffle.
Left in Hollywood to be a superhero.
They got hot men.
yeah, they're already being used as superheroes. That's what I'm saying. Everybody in Hollywood's been a superhero.
Shit. So, you know, the public drama, this thing, is just, it's gorgeous. I just look at this stuff like, this is just crazy, y'all. It's better than the show, Tifflebot, and that's why I brought it up on the show.
And it's also insane to think that, like, imagine if your workplace, and I'm not talking about serious issues, like she's talking some of them, like claims of harassment and stuff, but like, imagine if your, like, work, like, one of the things that she had said was that, like, somebody just came to work whenever.
Yeah.
And I think that we've all had a coworker.
I know five of those, like, people.
Late to work.
All the time.
Listen, guys, I'm the late to work employee, so I guess in this situation, what I'm saying is, imagine if, like, the local news was like, today, Tiffany Blue said
that
coworker X did not show up on time. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like, he'd be like,
he comes once a week.
Like, it's just insane that, like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, is in some ways, quote unquote, normal. Not the other stuff, like I said, but like that you're like, well, that just seems like a regular complaint.
Look, it was so many articles written about this thing. I was like, oh man, this is, we got to look into this. Goodness gracious.
The fact of the matter is, one thing I will say is that, like, regardless of anything that has happened on a set, it shouldn't matter if it was somebody farted and you didn't like it. I don't really like a lot of contractual stuff that people have to get into. And I understand that's to protect and whatever, but Hollywood has had some serious issues, I think, with that kind of stuff. Where, like, honestly, like, if you feel uncomfortable in your working environment and you want to leave, you should be able to.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's a really difficult and strange thing that I do think is a problem in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, you know, the first Power Rangers got made $600 an episode, so they exploded the hell out of
those
kids.
But I also think that, like, I get why you'd have to do that, because, like, some people would use that to, like, nefarious ends, where, like, you just don't want to do it anymore, and then you ruin a bunch of other people's livelihoods and stuff.
Oh, I got a better offer date, but they shoot tomorrow, so.
Right.
Yeah, I am going to have a problem, so I'm leaving, and because it's your fault, and then you're on a movie, you know, in Milan or somewhere.
I mean, it's a complex issue. I mean, I also signed a contract for where I work. I'm just not getting paid millions of dollars.
Maybe not today, Tifflebot. Not today.
Not today. But anyway, I do. I mean, if, you know, I just want everyone who feels like, you know, if they were harmed by what happened, for that to be resolved. But I also do want for this show, if people enjoy it, for it to keep going, not only for the people who enjoy it, but for the people who
I would like to know who's watching this show. Goodness gracious. Oof.
Well, it's got a second season. How'd that happen?
I don't know. I'm telling you, couldn't get through it. Me and my daughter tried to watch it.
During the first season, and I was like, the first season? I was like, I didn't even know it had come on, and now we're already got greenlit for two?
Look, it was already on, and they put it on, like, HBO Max, and so me and my daughter sat there and tried to binge it. And we got to show 5, and that was like after the first like show, we was like, no, it got to be better than this. It's, you know, and we just kept watching. It was like, it got to be better than this. It's gonna be, and it got to the point like my daughter was like, Dad, I can't do this no more, and she left. And I was like, I'm gonna watch the fifth one. You know, you know. And it was just like,
first of all,
terrible.
That is such a you fucking move. You're like, well, duh, surprise audience. I stayed around. I'm like, every time we do anything, you're like, I had to finish it. I'm like, fucking why?
But I didn't finish it, Tivobot. I didn't finish
it. Listen, honestly, can we have a sound drop for when I'm proud of you? Because I am.
All right.
Just one that just says good for you. Because I really am. Because usually you have told me that there are some things that you have told me that you're like, yeah, I finished the 25 episode series. I'm like, Montego, you know we're only on this earth for a limited time.
I gotta finish it. It's part of my problem. I gotta finish it. Yeah, I gotta finish it.
You're like those people who can't stop reading a book.
Oh shit.
Like even if they hate it, they're like, I gotta finish it. I'm like, no, you don't.
I stopped watching that train wreck, Tifflebot. It was a train wreck. Goodness gracious. Not enough capes in the world could say that one, Jack. It was terrible. Anyway, man. So that's it. So we're gonna take a break and we're gonna be right back with the price of tomatoes. We are back, man. It's time for everybody's favorite game on this show, The Price of Tomatoes. If you've been listening to this show, you know this is a fan favorite. But we don't get a chance to play it that often because it's a three-person game. But we figured out a way to make it a two-person game. So this is going to be pretty interesting. Tiff, could you tell people the premise of The Price of Tomatoes?
Yes. So we've basically taken the Price is Right model and created a game in which we place bids on what we believe the percentage of a Rotten Tomatoes critic score is. As with all Price is Right rules, whoever is closest without going over takes the point. And it's done in a round robin style typically, but I think we're going to play this a little differently.
But we're gonna.
I guess we could rotate the bids.
We're gonna absolutely rotate the bids, and then what we'll do is we're gonna go down the entire list. We're gonna give everything scores. Then
yes,
we're gonna
come back.
Which is
a little different than we normally play.
Yes, because we get instant gratification the other way.
yes. So this is gonna be easier for us to do, but also, so like if you've ever watched a show, what I mean by round robin it would be that the first question would be me first.
Yep.
The second question would be Montego first, so that everyone gets a fair shake at the bid. So
yes, and so we'll still do that, but then we won't reveal all the right scores until they're all done. So
got it. This might be a faster way to play Price of Tomatoes.
Yeah, this is an efficient
We've
Price
improved
of Tomatoes.
It. Price of Tomatoes 2.0.
Exactly. So we can start with my list first and then just work our way down.
Yes.
So my first movie is Matt Damon, The Martian. No, it's called Martian. So Tifflebot, what is your score?
97%.
Whoa, shit. 97%. I'm going to give it 89%. Okay, my next one is Oblivion, and I'll say that is probably a 78%.
Oblivion, I don't know if I've seen Oblivion.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, pretty good. Nobody liked it, though, so I probably messed up with the score.
Okay, so I'm just going to guess Tom Cruise, he's a hit or miss in the box office. So I'll say 56%.
You probably got that one, Tifflebot. One of my really, really like movies is Tenet.
And one of my really hate movies is Tenet. Let's talk about it.
What's your score, Tiff?
This would be your bid, wouldn't it?
Oh, I thought I just went. Okay, so Tenet. I'm going to give...
Oh, wait. You're right. Maybe I am first.
Yeah, I thought it was you.
Okay. I'm going to say 76%.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised you went that high.
Well, I didn't like it, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 80.
Okay.
There we go.
Edge cheap.
I know. Edge of Tomorrow, Tifflebot. Or Live, Die, Repeat. Tomorrow.
Live, Die, Repeat.
Yes.
68%.
68%. Edge of Tomorrow is definitely a 78%.
All right.
And my last one, Tiff, is District 9. That makes okay. you so depressed when you watch it.
Okay. You go ahead. You have to pick it first.
Yes, yes, yes. But I think it's high. I'm going to give it a 89%.
This is a hard one. Yeah, I'm going to say 95%.
Woo! Shit. Up there. Okay, your five movies, Tifflebot.
Okay, do you want me to read them?
Yep.
Okay, so my first movie is 12 Monkeys.
And it's your turn.
I love 12 Monkeys. That doesn't mean anything. It's still a good movie, so I'm going to say 77%.
77. I did not care for 12 Monkeys, but I'm going to give it a 65. I think I might have screwed myself up with that, but whatever. The next one.
Short Circuit with the robot.
Shit. I bet you that's up there because Johnny Five was staying alive.
You think so? The first one.
The first one.
Wait, this is yours. This is your bet.
I'm going to give it 85.
Oh, that's nice. I'm going to give it a 50%.
Wow. God damn it. It's on you. I'm sorry. Logan's Run. I already said it.
Logan's Run. Logan's Run. So this is my bet. Yep. I'm going to say 96%.
Really? I'm going to get out of 60%.
Event Horizon.
Oh, people love this damn creepy ass
movie. I love this movie too, but is it a critically good movie? That is the question we're asking.
Oh, of course, because I do not like this movie, and I've taken crap for years for not liking this movie, and I'm gonna give it a 33.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that yeah, it's probably around there. Maybe a little bit better than that. 38%.
38%. And the last one on your list, Tiff.
The last one on my list is Gattaca.
Ah. A movie that I like.
Love Gattaca. Yeah. We've reached an accord.
Agreed.
Is that me first or you?
Oh, I think it's me. Gattaca is probably around 75%.
I would probably agree with that, but I can't bet the same as you. So I'm going to go ahead and say that critics are sometimes dumb and say 68%.
68%. So that is the list. So okay. We're going to do is we're going to look up the scores and we'll be right back. Woo. Damn it, y'all. So we're back.
Working it out as we go.
We're back, man. So, man, we're going to start with just like we went down the list. So for The Martian, I said 89, Tiff said 97, and Tiff was over.
Damn it.
It was 91%. So I got
so
the
you
Martian.
Win.
Yes.
I win. I always win.
Oblivion with Tom Cruise. I said 78, Tiff said 56. I went over. It's 55%.
Wait, so I went over too?
We both went over because you said
so
56.
There. Good for us. Yes, Jesus.
Right.
Although I was pretty good.
You were.
I mean,
damn close.
I like to acknowledge the fact that I was so close.
Damn close. So, Tenet, I said 80. Tip said 76. We both went over. It was 70%.
It was what?
70.
I should have gone so low because I did not think it was. I'm so stupid. I'm not even good at my own game.
Edge of Tomorrow or Live, Die, Repeat. I said 78. Tiff said 68. I win. It was it was 91.
Serious?
Yeah. That movie is awesome. I agree. My last one, District 9. I said 89. Tiff said 75. Tiff went over. It's 90%.
Oh, I said 95.
You said 95. Said? Yes, it was 90%. Yeah, I said 89. I said 89. I was so close, and so I win. I have 3 points so far.
So I've got 1 point, 0 points?
That is correct. Zero for you.
0 points, 0 points.
Okay, so moving on.
Okay.
So 12 Monkeys. I said 65%. Tiff said 77. What is the score, Tiff?
89.
Damn. So Tiff takes the point.
Correct.
All right, 89. Next movie.
Short Circuit.
Yes, Short Circuit. I said 85. Tiff said 50.
I took the point on that one. 61%.
61%. Good for you, Tiffobot. I'm seeing a pattern. Next was
Logan's Run.
Logan's Run, man. I said 60. Tiff said 96.
We both went over 63%. No, wait. You said 60.
I said 60.
You get the point.
Yeah. What's the score?
60. Oh. 63. So sorry.
Haha. Event Horizon.
All right. What'd you say?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I said 33. You said 38.
Boy, oh boy. 28.
Woo, we both went way stanky over. And the last one was the beloved Gattaca. Said 75. Tiff said 68. The score is
83. You take the point.
I take the champion.
Yes, you did it.
I have won. I never win with Price of Tomatoes.
You say that every fucking time you win, because you win every time. I never win. You win every time. You son of a bitch.
I like those tunes. Oh, Jesus. They sound so good.
You guys, as any longtime listener of the show knows, Montego is neither a gracious winner nor a gracious loser. So it is a displeasure to play any game with him.
It's such a joy.
Me? I'm great.
Oh, shit. That worked out pretty good, Tiff. We could bring that game back.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, I think we can just make it, we can even make it a little bit better. You know what I mean? This is our first time, so I think we did a great job.
Yeah, just polish it up a little bit. You know, that's all.
Yeah.
All right, man. So we're going to take our final break. We're coming back with the big kahuna for the day, and that's, I forget the writer's name. It's Herbert somebody. Dune. I'm going to have it ready
Frank
for
Herbert. Frank Herbert. I'm sorry, I didn't.
There we go. We'll be right back. Bye. It's time for the big one, y'all. Been waiting for this movie for a long time. We saw a lot of art. We saw a lot of, you know, stills for, what's Herbert's first name again? Frank Herbert?
Yes, Frank Herbert.
His Dune. Now, if you're a friend of the franchise, you know this is not the very first movie named Dune. We got Dune. We got Children of Dune. We got Dune this and Dune that. It's been a lot of Dunes. And I remember very fondly, Tifflebot, when the first Dune movie was made in the 80s, you know, it was like a proxy for Star Wars for us dummies who had no idea what Dune was. We thought it was going to be like a Star Wars-esque story. Mm-hmm. And it was god awful, just terrible. And it got worst movie of the year from Siskel and Ebert that year. And that always will stick with me that happened.
Why?
It just sticks with me because it was like, wow. Because when I was a kid, I was a lot worse than I was now. I tried to, everything was like, yeah, it's okay.
But also that's pretty intense because I bet some really bad movies came out that year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To think of it, you know, it was like worst movie of the year.
This one stinks. Imagine I guess in my lifetime, I guess, wouldn't it be better to be, if you cannot be the best, would it be better to be the worst than to just be nobody?
Well, ask the guy who did The Room. He's still famous for doing the worst.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, shoot. So I guess you might have a point. Yeah.
Here we go. Just, you know what? If you can't be the best, just start being a real piece of shit.
Just be last. If you're not going to cross the hell with that second place.
No, just fucking stand still.
Right. And turtle it over at the last minute. You know? So Dune. Let's see. Action, yes. Adventure, drama. It doesn't say sci-fi.
Which is stupid. Weird, but okay.
Yeah. Feature adaptation of Frank Herbert's science fiction novel. about a son of a noble family entrusted with the protection of the most valuable asset and most vital element in the galaxy, the spice. Directed by Denis Villeneuve, who's got himself in a bunch of trouble for tearing up Marvel movies. Anything, man. Anyway.
And other such things.
There we go. Oh, I'm not aware of the other things, Tifflebot. You know, I always know only half the story, Tifflebot, and then all the other shit come out.
Potentially, probably everybody only ever knows half of anything.
Oh, damn. Okay.
But, yeah, not to get really deep or anything. Okay. But, yeah, do you want me to tell you who's in this movie?
Sure.
So, the stars of this movie are obviously fans on patrol favorite, Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, and I can't watch this without thinking about that disease college story. Goodness gracious, but go ahead.
Rebecca Ferguson.
Who?
Oscar Isaac.
Really starting to like her, Tifflebot.
Who, by the way, there's a scene in this movie where I am not supposed to have lady business feels, but you do. Josh Brolin. Stellan Skarsgård, Dave Bautista. There's a butt ton of famous people in this movie. Stephen McKinley Henderson, Zendaya. I'm going to skip some of these people. Chang Chen, because he's important. Jason Momoa, he's important. And then they're all kind of important.
Javier Bardem, isn't that his name? He's a famous guy.
Javier Bardem. There's so many famous. I'm just going to, you know what? Fuck it. Whatever.
No, that's fine. That's good.
Wait, but who's the other guy that's, he's got a penis head.
Oh, I don't know about the penis head, but.
Not a penis head. It's wrinkly. It's just gross. What's the head? Who's the head?
You already said Dave Bautista.
Oh, I did say that.
Yeah.
I forget that.
Hey, but your new favorite Polka Dot Man was in this, Tiff.
I saw him. And don't you think I didn't fucking say that? Like, as soon as I saw him, I was like, hey, it's Polka Dot. Like, I very lovingly said that to Mike, he just said, yeah.
He was also one of the ex-cons in the Marvel movie, you know. This movie.
He's got his getting cherry little bit parts.
Picked Marvel like a fat red. I was like, oh, that's.
Oh, yeah. They were like, we need a weird bald guy.
I know.
We need a strange little man.
Yeah, so many. So anyway, man, so. We've been waiting for this, man. I've been highly anticipating. And I know Dune is slow. But I have to tell you, if you like Dune, man, I swear I will always go back to that miniseries that came on Sci-Fi. It was called, it was Dune. And it was redone. And, you know, it was five nights or three nights, something like that. And it was so much better than the one in the 80s. I really liked it. So good. So good. Anyway, but we're talking about this feature film here. So, Tifflebot.
Yes.
It's time for...
Yeah.
One.
Badass.
Really?
Yeah.
You?
Yeah.
You? Holy Me? Shit. Okay, my one word is sloth.
Are you fucking serious with this shit?
Like the creature. Tiff, I swear to God, I was watching it one night, and... I fell asleep, and I got up the next night, and I fell asleep two or three times, but I kept watching it. I thought that what I was watching was good. It was just slow as shit.
I have to ask, and this is genuinely a genuine question.
Gotcha.
How can you watch this and be bored?
I didn't say bored. I said it was slow. I didn't say I was bored. It was just slow. I was intrigued. I liked what I saw. But I was just, when I
you
came,
know what, I'm going to.
Yeah, it was,
I'm not
going to
do
slow.
It. I'm not going to go there.
It was so
fine.
Slow. So, but did I enjoy it?
I do say there's some parts that do get a little slow, but towards the end, it was a little slow.
And, you know, I know the full story. So I know when it got so deep.
So you were waiting.
I was like, oh, shit. You know, I know we got greenlit for another movie before I watched this. And I was like, well, they're just going to make up stuff or do the Children of Dune or do something like that. But no, it was like, oh, they only went so far in the story. They only did like half the story. And so I was like, oh, they're doing a Lord of the Rings thing. They busted it up. So, yeah, it was slow. And it was, but I did like what I was seeing. It's not like I was like, oh, I hate this. But it was just like, fuck, come on, you know. So anyway, saying all that, we're going to hit some spoilers and we're going to get it on. So, very much like the old Dune show, it was really done really weird back in the old movie with the whispering and all that stuff. But they started with the whispering, and I don't know, Tiff. I end up turning on my what do you call that? Subtitles?
Subtitles.
Because mm-hmm. some of this stuff was very hard to hear. And I was like, what the hell? And I would have it turned up, and then that music would come on. Yeah.
You blow your ears out.
And
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
oh, God, you know, because it was a lot of that. I'm like, oh, God. So that kind of stuff had me cracking up. But anyway, so, you know, they're telling you about really quickly what this is all about. You know, yes. the spice and this most expensive thing, and it helps you to live longer, makes you more, helps you to live longer, or, you know, get, extend your life.
I feel like, okay, so I do want to say that although I think I understand some of this shit.
What you need to know?
I was under the impression that, yeah, like spice was, like a religious
no
for the people of the planet.
Oh, it's a because it's part of their religion. Yes, it's,
yes. Mm-hmm. And then the people who are coming to get it are,
it's just money to them.
They need it for space interstellar travel. It's like gas.
Also, it extends your life and keeps you from getting sick. And that's
how does it do all these things? Anyway, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that some people need it for travel and some people need it for other things or want it for other things.
Yes, for the rich people, it's to live for damn near forever and never have any ailments and, you know, be damn near invincible and stuff. And it's money. It's just...
It's all money. That cash. Is correct.
And so they start out with these scenes, you know, a lot of flashback scenes. You see a lot of Zendaya walking around just looking mysterious a lot, you know, you see that. And,
yeah.
But... I like how they got the action going pretty early with the, you know, showing the struggle between the oppressed and the oppressors. What did you think?
Yeah, I actually thought that, like, for me, I know that you said it was a sloth and I get it. But like that they did a pretty good job of there always being every so often a little bit of skirmish mm-hmm. or potential violence.
Well, let's talk about the real stars of the story, Tifflebot. And yes. that's the goddamn production designer. Bravo, sir, or
oh,
madam.
God.
Bravo. Because it, to me, masterfully done, even with keeping the old look of the things, but, you know, updating them and the design of the spacecraft and everything. What did you think?
I thought this was in some, that's why I said badass, because the accomplishment of this movie is kind of insane. The scope of it. And the shots that you sometimes see in it are really good. Like, you just, like, even if you watch this, if you turn this off, if you put it on mute, what I'm saying is there's costuming and set design and choices yeah. that are made.
Yeah.
That
all right choices. They all ding. Yes, you did it.
That, like, I feel like you could have, that the story would have been somewhat understandable even without sound.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
that's how strong the visuals are.
Oh, big time. And just, the overall design of everything, you know, it's yeah. just like, wow.
Big, it's like you feel small.
Yeah, you do.
And when you watch it.
It was kind of like that in the other movie. They still had that bigness and small, and it was a long time ago. But, you know, there's this, all the relationships and, the you know, you have the Baron, the father, and he's, you know, given this planet. And there's little things that happen. They spend a lot of time with mopey Paul. I think, you know, a lot
of times.
I
think he does a great job in this movie.
I'm not saying he didn't. I'm saying that Paul was mopey. I didn't even call him Timothy. I called him Paul.
I don't know if he's mopey or if he's super horny for his Zendaya
vision,
memory.
His vision. He just knows it's real, right?
Well, he does know it's real. So, like, because of this movie, I will say that I do think this movie is hard, is complicated to talk about in some ways because it is a science fiction movie, but it's also like obviously a political drama and stuff like that, because there's a lot, and then also commentary, and then there's some I know there's problems with it too, but like, so basically what's happening is the ruler of this system has taken one house Harkonnen and is replacing them with House Atreides.
Yeah, and he just does it overnight.
And it's a political move because they want to get rid of House Atreides.
Yeah, so right? It was all just a ruse to get them out of there because they knew these other fools would come in and just take it, you know, right from them. And so, you know, he's moping around, and then we get introduced to the characters, you know, we show that he's proficient in battle, you know, but has a lot to learn and stuff like that. And the relationships, you know, with his mentor, Jason, woo, yeah, Momoa, you know, he,
I do playing think Duncan. He does. He doesn't do a bad job, but I do think he does the worst job in this movie.
Woo, yeah, all right.
Where it's just like, where I'm just like, oh, all are right. we? It's like we're watching a movie about like space people and their spice, and then I feel like suddenly I'm at a California beach.
Right. Yeah,
where here he's we are. Like, what's up, brah? Yeah. I'm like, oh. No, because like honestly, he's not doing. Honestly, I don't really think he's doing a bad job.
No,
I'm
no,
just
no.
saying.
No, no,
compared
no.
to a lot of these other people, I'm just like, oh no. There's another guy too that I was kind of when he came on. I was like, oh, you're pulling me out, man. But that he was Jason Momoa was pretty bad.
Yeah. So Josh Brolin is playing the old mentor, and the relationship was a little different because your boy Captain Picard played the old bro. You know, they
okay.
and they were like close, you know, Paul and this guy. But you know, this guy, they didn't even seem like they liked each other, especially in that
they
battle.
They respected each other in some ways, I think.
Respect and liking is two totally different things.
I know. That's why I'm saying it.
And I was like, wow. I was like, that's a different dynamic. But I dug it. It worked. And so, you know, all the pomp and circumstances of showing the new fields and you know, this new Baron is a good guy, Tiff. You know, he doesn't want to oppress the people. You know, he yes. wants to open up talks. And so I'm digging it. But he's a little too nice, Tiff, because they got enemies all over the damn place.
He's a little too sexy.
Oh, you thought so? Being there butt naked trying to, you know.
So there's a part later in this movie when, well, about midway through the movie. Oh, which, by the way, just in case we need to talk about later. Paul is the son of a duke, but he's also the son of his mother, who's
like a cult of witches
yeah. for Hawaii. I can't say the name, but it's like a secret order of only women. And then yeah. there's like a prophecy that a boy will be born who can do it.
And I think they can choose the sex of the kid too, which is like interesting,
right? Because they said you chose to have a boy. You thought you were too good to do this, but he's not the one. He's almost the one, which, okay, obviously he's the one. But anyway, so later, when they come to make good on their claims to like have the Atreides killed, the doctor who was in the beginning their ally or friend, obviously, gives him like a poison tooth.
Yeah. Yeah.
To crack open and breathe all over everybody. And so even though he's lying there incapacitated, because I believe he's like been stabbed or whatever.
Yeah, he was tranked in that hallway, you know.
He was just laying there. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's looking pretty good.
He's in there bucket naked. Just.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think I'm getting out of this scene what I'm supposed to be getting out of this scene.
So one of the scenes that stuck with me was when Paul met with the Reverend Mother. And that bitch was serious as a heart attack.
Yeah, she was.
Woo, she put that pin to his neck. And I'm like sitting there like, well, you know, she's not going to stab him. But that she had every intention of killing him in there if he did say the wrong thing. And I was just like, whoa. I mean, that was an intense scene, Tiff. I mean, whoa,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
He all on his knees and hurting. And I remember the old movie so much. And when I saw that scene, I was like, it was so corny and cheesy in the last movie. They did such a better job in this movie. And so he survived the test, and he got superpowers, Tiff. You know, they do the voice so they can command people and stuff. And they,
which cool. I thought I wasn't going to be able to handle that, but it was okay. Like I thought a lot of choices that like that was borderline for me, where I was like, it almost sounds stupid, but it doesn't. And so I want to talk about a specific scene, which actually seems really small.
Go ahead.
And I want to, because I think sometimes when I hate a movie, I get really into the minutiae of stuff where I'm like, oh, well, because they did this and that, blah, blah, blah. A la Buzz Lightyear in the future comment.
Proceed.
So that being said, there is a scene in this movie. And when I say, when I'm trying to explain to people, like, why something in a movie takes me out or wasn't done well. There's a scene where they're in the helicopter and they're trying to escape after everyone's been killed, right? They're trying to get by the way, those are my favorite. Those little like
Paul and his mother.
Yes.
Okay.
They're what are those little bugs?
I love them. Dragonflies. They look like dragonflies.
Dragonflies.
I love dragonflies. I love that design.
Yeah. I thought those were so, I was like, that's such a perfect design. And I know that like probably there's like, if someone is an aerospace engineer or whatever, no. they'd be like, no.
No, it'll work. I've seen toys just like that work.
Okay.
That resemble dragonflies, they would be more controlled. So it would
work. I mean,
work.
I believe.
Yeah, it would work.
But there's a scene where, like, he's trying to get the plane started, right?
Yeah.
And the little dragonfly plane. And I think, like, in a... Well, I don't think. I know. So there's... He can't get it started, okay? And there's just this intense feeling in the cockpit. And his mom is kind of, like, looking at him. The actors are showing us that they are concerned that the plane's not going to get up. There is also, like, you can almost feel her wanting to say it, come on, come on, but she doesn't. And in a normal movie, like a movie I would complain about, there'd be like, they would have to voice that. They'd be like, can't you get this plane off the fucking ground?
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, just right. So people would understand that there's that intensity. Well, we don't need that. We don't need to understand there's that intensity because this is happening. They're showing us that intensity.
Right.
That's kind of what they mean by, you know, show, don't tell, which isn't always the rule. I don't think you always have to follow that, but the situation, it just makes you're more in the scene because someone's not taking you out of it by trying to draw attention to the thing that you're already noticing because you're a human.
And another thing, just to add onto, I agree 100% to add to that, is that it's actually good directing because these people, if you notice, are not overly vernacular, you know, they don't just spew vernacular all the time just to talk, you know, they're really subtle. They do a lot of looks, right? You know what I'm saying? They like,
yeah.
They, you know, they don't have to talk. And so that keeps with the spirit of the characters too. You know what I'm saying? I think that I didn't notice that, but that's a good point that you just made. So, man.
Thank you.
So they escape, you know, and it was just little things, you know, you say, ask the mama, was she pregnant and stuff like that. You're like, God damn.
Yeah. God. Which is like, and then I kind of thought, so I want to talk about that a little bit. Not that it, just cause you brought it up. It kind of felt like she was pregnant by someone she wasn't supposed to be. I don't think that's maybe not true, but it felt like it because she was so upset that he said that.
Yeah, she was. And I wonder why they played it like that. I mean, I know I know the story. So it was just like kind of like, I wondered why they played it like that. I was like,
unless the baby that she's going to have is actually the prophesized one and therefore it's upsetting. I don't fucking know.
No.
Anyway. Okay,
so.
So the woman who helps them, who is a part of that race of people
Dr. Not Cows or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And she kind of mentioned that she was both.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was like, oh, I can go between. And I mean, I don't think we totally know what that might mean yet. But she recognized him as potentially the chosen one, and then then she later helps them escape. She's the coolest person in this whole movie.
I just wondered why she seemed like she shouldn't have got killed that easy though. I was like, oh, damn.
She didn't, right? I thought that was her on the worm in the end.
Oh, I thought
riding the worm.
Oh, really? Because I thought she was dead. Okay.
I guess maybe I was confused, but it was just. You're right. She'd get eaten, but she there was so who was riding the worm?
Because she was ambushed before she got on that worm.
Right, and they all got swallowed. But then who's riding the worm at the end?
I thought it was somebody else. Okay,
I thought it was her. That's why he was like a different sort of something.
Okay, well maybe she didn't get killed. Okay, maybe. You know,
that's why I was wondering because she's got special something.
I fell asleep a couple times. I don't know. So.
I don't know. If anyone knows what happened in the movie, could you get that to us at?
Then I might have been snoring at that part.
So, they think that they killed the one guy, the Harkonnen. He survived and now there's like revenge shit happening.
Yeah.
And but anyway, so they finally off into the desert with the Fremen and who like all like begrudgingly kind of like we're like, well, we could kill the lady and keep him. And
yeah, it was a trip how they portrayed them because ragtag, scruffy and, you know, whatever. So
well, then how come in this, how are they different in this one then?
They weren't so, in my opinion, the difference is that they seem a lot more vicious in this movie.
Got it.
You know, than in the first movie. And maybe that's just my memory playing tricks on me, but yeah.
I've never seen the first one.
Yeah. I mean, just saying from my recollection from one of the worst movies of all time. So anyway, man. So he fights the guy, and instantly you kill one of them. You can become one of them if
that was weird to me. But I guess I don't know how what's happening with that. But like, I was like, why would you want to welcome someone in your tribe that killed someone?
Well, that dude had it coming because goddamn, you just couldn't leave well enough alone. You know, no. And then with the, I'm like, dude, leave him alone. No, you know, I'm going to challenge. Oh, you're going to lose. Okay. You're not the star of this story. You're about to die. And so, tried to save his life, what, 5-6 times in that fight. But we can't continue this conversation all the way to the end until we talk about the flying fat man.
Bam. The flying fat man, Jesus. Yeah, that was, I will say, oh, do you remember when I said the one thing that took me out was Jason Momoa? This actor is not the problem. And I don't mind the way they did it, but some of it was a little
Oh, Tiff, if you see the previous movie, that he's so nasty. I was so glad that they didn't have all the boils all over his face. And he was called, I mean, he was referred to by the emperor as sitting in the flying fat man. I mean, so that's where I really didn't make a joke. And so he had boils all over his face and pus and slop and goop. And he was just disgusting. And he floated around maybe like 2 feet off to the ground. And the Dave Bautista character, he was actually played by little bitty tiny Sting back in the 80s. And so they had a more prominent role in the last movie. But in this one, I think they're going to get rolling heavy in the next movie. But, you know, he was up on the ceiling and he escaped that poison. And so obviously something's wrong
with
him.
That was the part where I was like, this is straight out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Where he's up there and he's like...
Yeah, he was crawling. And so now he's in that black goop, you know, which has to be like some kind of medicine or something.
There's
probably
spice in there.
Something, right, trying to heal him and stuff. So, you know.
I do want to say, now that you've said that, I wonder, I would like a little bit of help from people who might be on the same page as me. There is a kind of character in Doctor Who that looks Sontarian.
Okay, I have no idea.
I'll show you. I'll send you a picture. And Dave Bautista was giving me big this vibes.
Oh, okay.
Just not necessarily because he's weird and bald, but because of
hey,
listen, I'm sending this to you right now, and I want the readers the listeners to see your reaction when you see this fucking picture come through in your text message, because you're gonna be like, holy shit, did they?
Here you go.
Here it comes.
All right, let me see here. Oh, damn. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not. It looks really ridiculous on Doctor Who, and it doesn't look ridiculous.
No,
on,
that's yeah. That's what they stole. They stole it. They stole
they
it from
stole
Doctor Who.
I'm telling you. And so I thought that was weird, but yeah, I didn't like. But all of that does lend itself to a very rich kind of. Not necessarily like yes, visual, but like story driven.
I think the
right?
next movie will be way better, honestly.
Oh, I'm super excited about. But so you want to talk about the flying fat man?
Yeah.
I want to talk about the fact that this movie has been said to have been starring Timothée Chalamet and Zendaya. Zendaya is in this movie for 15 minutes.
Oh no, she's not. If you tally up everything, I bet you it's under 2 minutes, man. It was tiny. It was really, yeah. really tiny. Really
well,
tiny.
The last scenes of the movie.
Well,
I
she just
consider.
Happened to be in a scene with everybody else. So.
Well, yeah. But I'm like, woo. I mean, like, what? And I understand it's because she's in the next one. But potentially, maybe you shouldn't really have, like, touted that as a thing. So that people, yeah, does that make sense? I thought that was a strange choice.
Well, I think they're looking at this Dune movie as one big movie. If it's three, if it's two... you know, it's really the same story. And if they add a subtitle, you know, I mean, a subtext to the title, they're adding it. Maybe they'll put the name of the chapter as the, you know, the subtitle or something, because it's not. It's just one big story, you know. So that's it, Tiff. That's Dune. We waited. Yeah, you loved it. I enjoyed it. A little slow. It was 2 hours and like 20 something minutes, so I don't know if I can do it again. But I still feel like I missed a lot, and I would like to enjoy the visuals of the movie again. I'm with you that you can just turn that stuff on for like a screensaver or something.
calmly watching the background.
Yeah. So that's it, man. I'm the host, Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego. This button all the way up to the top. With me is my co-host, Miss Tiffelbot. Say goodbye to the people. Tiff.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
And until next week, man, I think we're doing the Netflix Cowboy Regina King Idris Elba movie. So
the harder they fall.
So until next week, man, we will be
on patrol.